Evening has set in upon the city of Augustus, Illinois. At Stephanie's home in the living room, Felicia enters the room and goes to the coffee table. She sets two wine glasses by a bowl of popcorn as Stephanie enters the room. Felicia takes notice of Stephanie, who is wearing a scarlet red crisscross back cami dress and a pair of black heels.
Aren't you a bit overdressed for our movie night?
Oh, I completely forgot, Mom, and I'm so sorry that I can't move things around. It's just that Isaac called me a few minutes ago asking if I wanted to have dinner with him at the Turf Valley.
Ooh, the Turf Valley. Oh, I've heard good things about that place. I heard that place is quite expensive, and I heard that they even have singers perform there once in a while.
I can't wait to go. By the way, I'm sorry for not telling you about Isaac.
Oh, it's fine, sweetie. Look, I can always call your sister or your brother. They might want to come over. In fact, it might do your sister some good. On another note, I do hope that you and Isaac have some fun. And if I'm not being too forward, by the way, I think the two of you are falling in love.
Maybe. I mean, we've been through so much. It just makes sense.
That must be him now.
I think so.
Red roses for a beautiful lady. Oh, and hi, Felicia.
Hello, Isaac. Well, I do hope you two have a fun night. Don't stay out too late.
Whatever you say, Mom.
Outside of the Hastings mansion, Mark and Isabella walk up to the front door. But before Mark knocks on the door, Isabella pulls him back.
What was that for?
What? I can't give my fiancé a kiss before we walk into his mother's home.
I won't fight a kiss from you, but you've given me about 7 kisses since we left the hotel.
I guess I can't help myself. I mean, we're engaged, and I wiped the floor with Christopher in court. Anyway, about our engagement, I'm also super excited for your mom to start helping me plan the wedding. I bet she's just as excited.
Yeah, about that. I haven't told her yet.
What? I thought you called her right after you proposed to me. Did you not?
I was going to, but then the call turned into discussions about the direction of Hastings advertising, now that Antoine has shares.
Okay, fine, whatever. Let's just tell her tonight during dinner.
Actually, tonight's not a good time to tell her either. This is technically a business dinner. Mom!
Hey, you two. I was alerted by the security system that you had arrived. Why haven't you rang the bell yet? Well, I guess that doesn't matter. I just need for the two of you to get in the house because we have a lot to talk about.
Isabella and Mark brush past Diana as they enter the home. A suspicious Diana turns around. At the grand piano in the dining area.
That was a lovely lunch. Thank you, Graham.
Certainly. I'm just glad that I could get through this date without any chest pain.
I mean this in the best possible way. But I don't want to have to rush you to the hospital again.
And I don't want that either. On another note, thank you.
For what?
For cheering me up today. You know, it's been hard for me to get out of bed lately, but I feel as though every time I wake up, I rush to my phone in order to see if my sister needs anything. Now, she's a strong woman, but nothing could have prepared her for the death of her son. Nothing.
some degree, I understand what she's going through. When I thought I had lost my Emmy, I was sent down a very dark path. I even went after her husband for custody of my grandson. But Graham, I think that Miranda will be just fine. You two seem to be so close. And that's what's most important right now.
We try to be close.
Graham, you are very dear to your sister. She loves you. And if anyone can help her to get through this very difficult time, it's you.
You really think so?
I know so.
Lucinda reaches for Graham's hands. She then flashes a sympathetic smile towards him. At Antoine and JJ's apartment, in the living room, Antoine is looking down at his cell phone texting someone. As JJ enters the room, goes to him, and sits next to him on the couch.
Hey, you.
Hey.
I just got off the phone with my sister. She says that she's just got an upset stomach.
Oh, no, I hope she's okay.
She will be. The doctor sent her home with something that'll make her upset stomach as though it never existed.
That's good.
That it is? So tell me, who were you texting away with?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry if it seemed as though I wasn't listening.
All is forgiven.
Good. By the way, I was texting with Joseph McVeil. He's a realtor who took some big ad out in the magnifier. Anyways, I contacted him to talk about houses that are on the market here in town.
Oh? I thought we decided to wait until after the wedding to discuss where we should live.
We did. But you know me, I can't wait to start our life together. I just want to find the perfect house for us. And there's something that is available on Cold Springs Lane. You know, that cozy neighborhood by the library?
Yeah.
Well, if you're up for it, I'd love to take you over there right now. I've gotten pictures of the place from Joseph, but I'd like to stand in front of that house with you.
I get it. Yeah. Let's go. Show me the house.
Oh my God, baby, you're going to love it.
At Danielle's loft in the living room, Danielle is sitting on the couch, staring blankly at the wall. She then becomes very deep in thought.
Thanks for hurrying back into the exam room, Dr. O'Brien.
Of course. I didn't want to keep you, your brother, and his fiancée waiting. I know you're eager to find out what happened to you, and I know your loved ones are worried about you as well.
Thanks. But I'm pretty sure I just got an upset stomach. I mean, ever since I lost Alex a few days ago, I have not been eating well or sleeping well.
An upset stomach was a possibility.
I'm sorry, was?
Miss Frazier, I got your scans back. You don't have an upset stomach. At least that's not all it is. You're pregnant.
Upon coming out of her thoughts, Danielle wipes away a few tears. She then lets out a deep breath. At the Harper Mansion in the living room, Elaine is sitting on the couch reading a book. As she flips the page, Gunnar enters the room.
Hey, you.
Good evening.
What is that you're reading these days?
The Road by Cormac McCarthy. It's a survival story, and considering that we just got rid of Andrew, it seemed fitting to dive into a book about, you know...
Yeah, look... Speaking of Andrew, we've been holding off our talk because of him.
Yes. The talk.
Can we talk now?
I guess we shouldn't hold our talk off any longer.
Before Gunnar can say another word to Elaine, he and Elaine turn around to see Melanie and Stephen, who have entered the room.
Melanie? Stephen? What are you two doing here? Is everything okay at the guest house?
Everything's fine. Melanie and I thought we'd make our way over here to talk to the two of you about the past, and there's something we need to reveal to the two of you.
At Opulence Monthly in Leslie's office, Leslie is typing up an editor's note for the latest issue of Opulence Monthly. As she signs off on the note, Colin peeks inside the office as Leslie looks up.
Colin, hi. Please come in. How are you?
I'm doing as well as can be expected. It has been a rough few days. I guess it's good that my company might still have a pulse.
That's good.
I'd like to think so. In the meantime, however, I've been thinking a lot about Alex. Especially as Connor now lives with me and Emma again. How have you been doing since the funeral?
Honestly, life without him is still an adjustment because of Aiden. We're gonna be okay, though. But Aiden is having a hard time with trying to understand why his father doesn't come and get him on the weekends anymore.
Well, in a lot of situations, they say to take things one step at a time. One step to ease the pain.
Yeah. Anyway, what's really going on with you? I can tell that something is going on. What brought you to my office tonight?
I was just walking around town and was hoping you'd be here. There's something I've been meaning to tell you. Emma told me she confronted you about our kiss. And then after she told me, it led to a conversation about our marriage.
Where do things stand between you and Emma?
Emma and I love each other very much. And we want to give Connor an easy life, but we've come to the conclusion that being married is no longer what we both want. We're going to get a divorce.
At Augustus Towers on the 10th floor, Olivia is walking down a hallway with her purse in hand. She is looking through her purse, trying to find her penthouse key. Upon locating the key, she becomes very deep in her thoughts.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, but I do. I did my research on you, and I'm prepared to use your past against you. If you don't back the hell off.
Okay, what is it that you want?
I want a payout. $200,000, or I take this information to Christopher and the courts.
Upon coming out of her thoughts, Olivia begins unlocking the front door.
Hey, Mom, no worries. I understand that you need to head back home, but don't be a stranger. I love you too. Bye.
Doc, hey.
Hey, how was your day?
Ugh, so rough. I was on my feet all day, and we were introduced to a new chief of staff. Dr. Charlotte Newsom is her name. And she is a lot.
Can't wait to meet her, if I get the chance. Oh, I really miss working in that hospital. My medical career isn't possible. I have a suspended license. I have a payout to Isabella to take care of, and...
I understand. Look, it irks me that Isabella won, and that is putting it lightly.
I guess this goes to show that life isn't always fair.
Christopher, listen to me. I know that she won, but we are not going to just give up.
Oh? You must have a plan in mind.
You know me so well, Doc. I do have a plan. Before the month is over, I'm going to get her to confess to everything. And after I do, I can promise you that we will never have to deal with that bitch again.
At Memorial Hospital in Charlotte's office, Charlotte is sitting behind her desk looking over some budgetary projections for the hospital.
Ugh, this hospital's budget is a mess. I guess I'll have to take a pay cut and also give some of the other top staff members a pay cut. I despise doing such a thing, though.
Charlotte rolls her eyes and then checks the time on her wristwatch.
Well, Rome wasn't built in a day. I guess I should just get out of here and grab a cup of coffee and look at tomorrow with a fresh set of eyes.
Back at the Hastings Mansion in the living room.
To tell you the truth, Mark, I did not expect you to bring a guest to dinner.
Isabella is a good assistant. I thought she could take the minutes of our meeting. But I do apologize for catching you off guard.
I understand your point of view, but I thought that you and I could hash important things out.
I get that. Look, before we move on, I must tell you that Isabella being a good assistant isn't the only reason I had her tag along to this dinner. You see, the reason I had her tag along is, because she's going to be my
wife. That's right. We're engaged.
Isabella, sweetheart, I thought we were going to let me do the talking.
I know. But I couldn't wait any longer. Diana, Mark and I are ready to start a life with one another. We're happy.
We are. Very happy. I really wanted to ease my mother into this, though.
You do not have to ease me into anything. However, I do need to speak with Isabella for a moment.
Very well, then.
Marriage? You want to be my son's wife?
That I do.
Wow. I didn't know that the relationship had with my son was becoming so serious these days.
I really love him, and I think he loves me just as much, so we thought we'd make things official.
Are you pregnant?
With all due respect, it's 2023. Even if I was, I don't think that'd be Mark's only reason for wanting to marry me.
Very well, then. Are you dying of some mysterious illness?
No. Diana.
Mrs. Hastings.
What's your point?
Isabella, you are very good at your job. I even think my son loves you. However, I know women like you. You want my son for not just his love, but also his money. Don't try to deny it, dear. Now, should we meet Mark in the dining room? I'm sure that dinner is ready to be served.
At the Turf Valley in the dining area, Isaac and Stephanie have just finished their appetizer. Stephanie takes a sip of her wine as Isaac smiles on at her.
That appetizer was amazing. Who knew that peaches and Gouda could be such an amazing combo on a crostini?
You did seem to really enjoy them. I'll be sure to ask the chef for the recipe. He's a good friend of mine.
Thank you.
Of course. So it'll be a few minutes before our main course is served. What would you like to do until then?
I'd love for us to try out that dance floor.
Isaac stands from his seat and then holds out his hand to a smiling Stephanie. Stephanie then takes his hand as the two walk to the dance floor and begin to slow dance.
I think that this is the first time we've ever danced like this together.
I think you're right about that. I mean, I did get kidnapped during the night of the Bay Ridge Hotel grand reopening.
Do you really want to talk about Donovan tonight?
Good point. After all, I did say goodbye to him. Detective Reynolds allowed me to have a private moment with him.
You really think we're done with him?
I actually do.
I guess that means we can finally settle down. Hopefully we can do that with each other.
What do you mean?
I think you know. I'd like to settle down with you for good, Stephanie. I want you to be my wife. Stephanie, when Dolores was starting to get sick, we would have these talks about what would happen once she passed on. We spoke about Leslie, who just had Aiden. We spoke about the paper. But at the end of the day, our talks always circled back around how she wanted me to be happy. She didn't want me to be alone. Stephanie, I know we come from two different worlds, and I know our relationship has not been an easy one through the past few years, but at the end of the day, I still am consumed by thoughts of you. And I still love you more than words could possibly say. I want you to be my forever. Will you be my wife?
Oh, Isaac, yes. Yes, I will marry you.
At the Augustus Police Department, Bo and a security guard are walking down a hallway of holding cells. The two then stop when they get to Donovan's cell. Donovan's back is turned as he sits on the bed.
All right, Donovan. The guard said lights out about 5 minutes ago. Why are you not complying?
Donovan doesn't move as the guard looks over at Bo, who gives a nod in order for them to open the cell.
Donovan!
Bo touches Donovan, only to find out that Donovan took his jail uniform and put it around some objects he had collected, including bedding.
Son of a bitch! Alert everyone that a prisoner has escaped, now!
Meanwhile, at Mountainside Cabins in cabin number 2...
It's been a long time since I've been at this cabin. Home sweet home.
Donovan steps inside the dimly lit cabin. He then looks around as he puts a duffel bag on the floor. Back at the Harper Mansion in the living room.
I can't believe you covered up the attempted murder of Donovan, all to protect this Felicia Richardson.
I was just as shocked as you were when I found out, but I understand why he did what he did.
Donovan hurt a lot of people.
That he did.
You did the right thing.
I never thought I'd hear those words from you, Gunner.
Gunner is saying a lot of things lately that I thought he'd never say.
I've changed.
Is that right? Look, we told them what happened with Donovan, but that only takes care of one thing we wanted to do while we're here. Second thing we wanted to do was talk about the past.
Are you referring to Colin?
Yes.
We've just never gotten to discuss what went down.
Sorry that I held everybody up. I was sort of kidnapped. Well, held it hostage at a house in Canada.
I'm not sure there is a word for what you went through.
I am sorry.
Thanks. I'm learning to deal with the trauma.
I think that could be said for a lot of situations with this family.
I think you're right. Look, what I did with Melanie was a terrible, horrible thing. And I tried to justify it to myself for many years, but there is no justifying what I did. I bought a child. I raised him as my own with Elaine. I said I got him from an orphanage. None of that was true, and all I can say now is that I'm sorry. I am sorry to all three of you in this room. I know I've hurt all of you.
I also take responsibility for my part in this. When I first came to this town, I was just so unsure if I wanted to reveal the truth or not. But what I was sure about is that I wanted another shot of being a part of this family. And between the Alzheimer's, which turned out to be vascular dementia, and between the car crash and Elaine, you falling off the wagon, well, let's just say that everything got lost in translation.
I couldn't agree more. I'm not saying that I'll ever forget what happened. Yet, none of us are promised tomorrow, so, well, I think we should all just try to forgive one another and move on.
Are you sure, Elaine?
Only if all of you are.
I'd like that very much.
Same here.
Good. All right, here's to new beginnings.
Outside of a family home in a quiet suburban neighborhood, JJ and Antoine come out from having just been inside the home as they have spent some time touring the property.
So, what do you think of the house? It's gorgeous, right?
It's a beautiful house, Antoine, but it's a bit much.
I know, but can you imagine us here? Think of the vision. It's away from all the loud noises of downtown, plus it comes with that great two-car garage.
Antoine, I know what the home looks like. I know the location of it. I just think that $225,000 is too much. I know that I manage Prodigy. I know that you worked your way up at the Magnifier. You're a fantastic reporter. But at the end of the day, don't you want to have our wedding first, get settled down, and then pick a house?
I'm sorry, JJ.
You don't have to be sorry. I just want to come to an agreement about something.
No. I'm sorry that I've already bought the house.
What?
Our wedding is coming up and I wanted this to be my present to you. I've got my biological dad's money. I'm doing great at the Magnifier and I want us to call this house our home.
Oh, I see.
At Danielle's loft in the living room, Danielle is standing in front of a standing mirror, touching her stomach.
I'm pregnant. I'm having Alex's kid. And he's not here with me. Who is it?
It's your mother. Well, it certainly took you long enough to answer the door.
Sorry, Mama. I was just trying to get myself together. What brings you by?
Well, I wanted to come and check up on you. How have you been doing?
I'm doing better. I'm just taking it one day at a time, that's all.
Well, you're a strong woman, dear. I know that things still feel foreign to you, but you'll have your family.
I guess. Do you want something to drink or even something to eat? I still have to get to the market, but I have a few things.
Oh, no, I'm fine. I ate before I came over here. Your sister and I were supposed to have a movie night, but she went out with Isaac Marshall instead. And to tell you the truth, I think your sister might take her relationship with Isaac to the next level.
As Felicia continues to talk, Danielle seemingly falls out of the conversation and becomes buried deep within her own thoughts. Danielle then reaches for her stomach once more as a tear begins to fall.
Danielle, are you all right?
Yes. I just ate something earlier that doesn't agree with me, I guess.
I know, with everything going on, it's sometimes hard to take care of yourself.
I have been taking care of myself, Mom.
Well, you get your strength from me, but even the strongest of people need to process their grief. And your sister, your brother, Antoine, me, we can all help you work through that.
I don't have Alex with me, and I could really use him right now.
Sweetheart, I know, but he'll always be in your heart. Danielle, what's really going on here? Tell me. You can tell me anything.
I'm pregnant, Mom.
At the Tasty Bean Cafe in the main area, Rhonda and Gregory enter the coffee house and make their way over to the front counter.
Well, well, you two seem to be in good spirits.
We most certainly are.
We just had such a great night out. Went to this French restaurant downtown in Anor. If you ever have time, you totally need to make your way over there.
Oh, I definitely will. So what brings you two in here?
Well, I was just telling Rhonda about that chocolate mousse cake you make from time to time, and I was hoping you made it today.
Oh, you're in luck. Let me go get you some of it to go.
Oh, wonderful. Thanks, Lenore.
As Rhonda and Gregory share a kiss and lean on one another, Charlotte enters the main area through the patio.
Would you like to grab a table while we wait?
Whatever you say.
How about that little romantic corner booth? You know, the one underneath the logo?
Wherever you want to go, I'll be right behind you, my love.
Well, isn't that a coincidence? Because I feel the same way about you.
As Gregory and Rhonda share another kiss, Charlotte walks up behind them.
Hi, are you two done ordering yet? Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, no, it's no trouble. Come on, let's get out of this woman's way.
Upon hearing Charlotte's voice and before he walks off with Rhonda, Gregory slowly turns around.
Oh my God.
Gregory?
I can't believe it.
What's going on here? Sir, are you all right?
Sir? No. What do you mean? It's me.
Gregory, do you know this woman?
Of course I do.
I don't understand. I don't know who you are.
What? What do you mean?
Hey, Gregory, you must be thinking that this woman is someone else. Let's just...
No. I know exactly who this is. And oh my God. You've come back to me. Avery.
This has been Forever and a Day, created by KCS Hutchison. Co-executive producers KCS Hutchison, Candace Mack, and Demi Morgan. Narrated by KCS Hutchison. Written by KCS Hutchison, Candace Mack, Emmy Morgan, and Eric Andras. Music and sound effects provided by Thessalian Studios and Soundstripe. Theme song provided by Soundstripe. This episode starred Brett Lawrence as Gunnar Harper, Elizabeth Von Isser as Elaine Harper, Karen Knebel as Melanie Walters, Candace Mack as Danielle Frazier, Bart Blackneo as Colin Harper, Kalia Davis as Leslie Marshall, Christina Sullivan as Stephanie Markham, Tony D. Head as Isaac Marshall, Desmond Hawkins as Mark Hastings, Diana Collins as Diana Hastings, Durrell Anthony as Antoine Jeffries, Sherrard Jackson as Jesse J.J. Frazier, Benjamin Bryant as Gregory Marshall, Amelia Marshall as Rhonda Jeffries, Terry Lemer as Lenore Parkhurst, Veronica Dang as Charlotte Newsom, Van Griffin as Beau Reynolds, Michael Carr as Donovan Aldridge, Lance Guzman as Christopher Marshall, Ashley Stewart as Isabella Reed, Emmy Morgan as Olivia Bookman, and Janelle Allen as Felicia Richardson. Special guest star Lakina McGee as Dr. O'Brien. Join us next week for the season 4 finale of Forever and a Day on your favorite podcast streaming platform. This podcast is proudly recorded under a SAG-AFTRA collective bargaining agreement. We support all actors and writers on strike.